Your home for classic hits, 1570 AM, 96.9 FM, and now at 102.7 FM. This is WILO, Frankfort, Lebanon, Delphi.
It's time now for Week 2 action from Inside the Huddle. Brought to you by Susan Casper State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Don Stock and Jamie Blacker will take a look at all the area high school football action from last night. Now let's join Don and Jamie live for Inside the Huddle on WILO AM and FM.
Good morning. We're back with Week 2 for Inside the Huddle here in Clinton County and surrounding areas. This week, I got Don Stock with me. Good morning, Doc.
Hey, I made it. I made it in today.
You made it to Prairie last night twice.
Twice? We were there twice. Trying to get things rolling for last night's ball game. Prairie played really, really well last night. And, you have to figure that. I mean, I don't know how West Dell is, but you come off a 46-6 score, I think it was, and they got a new coach, and this is your home opener, and you're playing a county rivalry. Man, was Prairie ready.
Yeah, they were ready. They had some answers they had to figure out because they had some players out from week one, and, you know, Frankfort came out there being a county rival. There's construction going on. There's no lights. There's temporary lights. The scoreboard doesn't want to work now since they've hit something. The sound system, I mean, it's just one of those nights. Yeah, Hoosierland TV had a little snafu to get going, but as it went on, everything worked out.
And you lose your quarterback.
And they lost their quarterback.
But just 1 week. It looked like he had an ankle sprain. Is that what he had?
I think so.
It was a good move not bringing him back in because you got more important football games ahead of you than that game last night.
Which we're going to be talking to Coach Rosa here in just a second. He's the head coach of Clinton Central. The Corn Bowl's next week. Clinton Prairie versus Clinton Central will be the second annual, and we'll talk about that. But let's go over some scores from the area last night before we get to Coach Rosa. In the Sagamore Conference, as Don said, Clinton Prairie was big winner over Frankfort, 54-30. Brebeuf, 36, Tri-West, 8. Zionsville was 42-6 over Lebanon. Western Boone was winners over Western last night, 44-22. Crawfordsville over Fountain Central, 27-20. And in a big upset, I think North Montgomery pulls off a 14-7 win over Hamilton Heights. In the Hoosier Heartland Conference, Sheridan was winners over Clinton Central 47-0 at Delphi last night in the Bacon Bowl, and we'll be talking with the Carroll coach here at 9:30. The Cougars were winners over the Oracles last night 39-6. Tri-Central went over to West Dell and was also big winners last night 34-0. It was Eastern 53, Northwestern 30, and Miami beat Taylor 42-6. But this morning we have Coach Rosa in here. He's a new head coach for the Clinton Central Bulldogs. And, Coach, I'll get to Mike Swift over here, and Don, ask you your first question.
Coach, hey, welcome to the studio. Glad to have you.
Oh, we're happy to be here, just not under these circumstances this morning, but that's okay.
Yeah, we had a good talk about it before we went on the air. You came in late into the program, a lot later than you probably wish you had it, but it was under circumstances that out of everybody's control, and you come in, you play a county rivalry in Frankfort first, and then you play one of the top-rated teams in 1A football, Sheridan, last night to get started on a program that you're still trying to get your feet wet on.
Yeah, and it just gets even better next week. As it was just mentioned, we go over to our other county rival for the Corn Bowl, which I just found out was a thing like 5 minutes ago. So, hey, you know what? We're going to do our best to bring the Corn Bowl back. But, you know, yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, this is Indiana high school football, and I don't care who the school is, it's going to be a fight every single week, and we are young, and we are building a program, and it's going to take some time. We have not had a winning tradition for quite a while now, and we were there at one point. You know, we were looked at as Bud Sheridan for many years back in the late 80s, 90s, you know, always ranked up there. But that's fallen off. And, you know, last week when I was on the show, I joked about Bud being older than God and doing everything the right way with both him and Coach Gilbert together and how we were so blessed to have both of these men teaching young men how to become men. And
you know, I think Bud kind of took that the wrong way. And what I really was trying to get across was that he's had a program that has been sustainable now for 40 some odd years based on some very simple principles, dedication in the weight room, accountability to each other. And most importantly, for such a small school like that, the same size as ours, he stresses that all of his athletes play multiple sports. They don't specialize in things, you know, and we saw how that just keeps going on and on. And it was a big difference last night. We've been so in the weight room the last 5 or 6 years. We've been so on accountability with each other. You know, we've got a lot of kids in the school that I walk through the halls and say they should be playing football now. And they're specializing in basketball or baseball or whatever the case may be, but they don't want to be a 2 and 3 sport athlete. And a school our size, we need that. So that's part of the rebuild of building the program again, is getting back to those three basic principles. Our administration understands that. They support what we're trying to get done. Most of our parents have bought in. You know, I say most, we still have a few out there, you know, and it's always what the case is when you're dealing with moms and dads. Sometimes emotions sometimes play more than understanding the logic of what we're trying to build. But we're going to get there. We're going to get there. I'm super positive about them. You know, yeah, we got beat 47-0. But you know what? When we got the ball on the last drive on a running clock, my guys were still fighting. We got one of our three first downs. We completed a pass. They were still excited. And our fan base never left. They were cheering right to the end. And that's something that we haven't had before. So we're doing something right. We just have to understand it's baby steps.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your kids. And you've talked a little bit about some kids used to play in certain positions. Now you've made some changes. And still depend a lot on senior leadership with the De Leon boy.
Oh, you know, I can't say enough about Leo. Leo's been our quarterback all last year. He started this year as our quarterback senior year. And after the first game, we went to him and we said, you know what, Leo, we've got to make a move. You know, we've got to make a move, and we don't want you to take this the wrong way. He is a great runner with the football. So we moved him to the backfield to carry the ball. And he turned around and he said, Coach, whatever you need for this team to win, I want to win. That takes a lot for a 17-year-old boy who's been the face of the program as quarterback to with not even batting an eye, say, whatever we need, Coach. And he was fine with it. And he played his heart out for us. And you know what? He's now one of our captains. He got that promotion yesterday at the end of the game.
With the rebuilding process you're talking about, it's going to take a little while. And, you know, the only way to do that is, you know, get the young guys on the field, and you got plenty of them. We were talking about before you came on, you got 10 freshmen. They're all, a lot of them are seeing the field, and you were led by one of them last night in Creed Menon, who stepped in and played quarterback for you.
Yeah, Creed got about 85% of the snaps. You know, we still had a couple of sets that Leo was in on, and this coming week, Creed will take 100% of the snaps. It's important that those young guys get their feet wet. You know, they are now going up against men at Sheridan. You know, their 15th biggest kid was bigger than our biggest kid out there, you know, but the effort was there. They're learning.
Right.
I had three freshmen. It was their first time on Friday night under the lights last night, you know, and they all came off the field after that first one. And I got to them and I said, hey, look, it's Friday night. Was it fun? Was it worth the work? And they're all like, yeah, Coach, when can I go back in? You know, so they're getting it. They're understanding it. But yeah, you know, there is a difference between a 6'4", 260-pound guy going up against a 5'11", 140-pound kid who's been in the weight room for 2 months.
And we talked a little bit about that last week.
Yeah.
You know, playing high school football in Indiana, no matter if it's 6A or Class A, I mean, if there's a stud out there, there's a stud, and you got to be ready for those kind of kids.
Oh, yeah. You know, and it wasn't the effort. It wasn't the effort, you know, but I mean, they're big fullback, you know, we bounced off him all night long.
I mean, one touchdown. I think we counted 7 missed tackles where they actually just bounced off of them. You know, they just got to get bigger and stronger,
right?
And that's where the weight room will come in. But I will have to say this. You know, we've been doing something with our alumni the last 4 or 5 weeks where we've had one come back each week to talk about what made them successful, and they've all hit the same things that Bud's program talked about: the weight room, the accountability, the, you know, being multi-sport athletes, etc. And it's starting to hit home. And this past Thursday, we had the best weight room session since I came back in January.
That's great,
you know,
to hear.
So it is. They are buying in. We just have to continue to go and see what happens.
Coach, can you talk a little bit about what you're expecting this week? We talked about there's the start of the session here. That's the Corn Bowl, the second annual, I guess, is what the athletic directors got together last year and start building this game. It's always been a huge county rival. You talked about last week, you know, neighbors against neighbors. Now it's like family against family in a lot of cases, you know, the Gophers and the Bulldogs on both sides of the ball.
You know, this is like IU-Purdue, right?
Right.
We got license plates that are split when we talk about the Prairie Gophers. And, you know, I'm looking at a former player here who's just staring me down right now like he wants to kill me, you know. But that's okay, because that is what it should be about, are these rivalries, you know. And I know they've got a brand new coach as well. He was here a little bit longer than me, so he had a little bit more time to prep. He's you know, coming from Crawfordsville, where they didn't have a lot of success. But I know, watching tape from Crawfordsville, you know, they threw the ball all over the place. I know that they're going to spread it out. They're putting up ungodly numbers on offense right now. My only hope is that Frankfurt scored a lot of points on them, and we kind of held Frankfurt down a little bit opening week, so we're hoping that might balance it off a little bit. But it's going to be another one of those slobber knocker games, you know, where both teams are going to give it all right to the end of the game, and you know, the best team will walk off with a win, you know. But I do want to say, you know, opening week, I told my guys the Bulldogs beat the Bulldogs. Last night, the Bulldogs didn't beat the Bulldogs. A good Sheridan football program beat the Bulldogs, and we got to keep our heads up and now move forward, starting in 15 minutes when I get back to the school, getting ready for those Gophers and finding a way to get the Corn Bowl brought back to us.
You know, Coach, you're obviously the right guy for the job, because you have such a great positive attitude in a program that has not been as successful as you talked about earlier. And I think that when you get a coach with the positive attitude and the way to bring things around from a negative to a positive, I think that's a lot for high school kids. And, you know, I congratulate you for taking on this position and trying to make, right now, chicken salad out of chicken, you know. And
oh, no, we're not chicken, you know. We are not chicken. We just don't have all the ingredients are on the table. It just hasn't been mixed in the bowl right yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that good things are going to be coming from your future endeavors. It may take a few years, but it's coming.
Well, you know, we're just hoping to get the dog pound rolling again and get the people out there. And yeah, we will never not have effort out there. We're going to always find something we can build on. And there were a lot of positives out of this game that we're going to be highlighting to the kids when we get back.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, we've been listening, or we're talking to Coach Rosa from the Clinton Central Bulldogs. Who's coming up next?
Coach Byers.
Coach Byers from the Frankfurt Hot Dogs will be in to see us, and we'll talk about last night's ball game against the Clinton Prairie Gophers. You're listening to Inside the Huddle with Jamie Blacker and Don Stock.
Discounts to more drivers?
Yep, like the good driver discount.
So it's for good but not great drivers?
No, Jerry. There's also the multi-line discount.
For calling from multiple lines while driving.
You should never use a phone while driving.
I only make calls from my car when I'm stuck in a ditch or something.
Are you in a ditch?
Yes, I am.
State Farm offers more discounts to more drivers than any other insurance company. Get to a better state.
Give me a call. Your good neighbor State Farm agent, Susan Casper, at 659-5678.
You wake up in the morning after sleeping under an advertisement.
actress in a home that was once advertised by a realtor. You check social media on your advertised phone. You get dressed in your advertised clothes, slip on your advertised shoes, and grab your advertised phone again. Then you grab that advertised coat, get into your advertised car, drive to work while seeing and listening to advertising, only to arrive and sit at an advertised desk. Then you refuse to advertise, saying, "Advertising doesn't work." Then when your business fails, you call up various advertising companies to advertise the business or building for sale. Sounds crazy, right? Happens every day in small businesses everywhere. If you believe in your business, your advertising should be a top priority. People go where they are invited to. Stay top of mind with your customers when they need you most. Call Casper Media today at 765-659-3338 to find out how you can increase revenue for 2022.
WILO Skywatch Weather. Sunshine today with a high of 85. Mostly clear tonight, the low 64. Partly sunny on Sunday, but a few isolated showers and thunderstorms, the high 88. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO. Check out real-time weather radar 24/7 at ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
On Inside the Huddle, we have Coach Byers from the Frankfort Hot Dogs, which they were traveled to Clinton Prairie last night, and the Gophers won that ball game 54-30. Don did that with Carl as the Hoosierland TV Game of the Week. Kind of started out a little crazy. Prairie scores on a 53-yard run to start the ball game, got called back on a penalty, and then Prairie kind of marched it down. The scoreboard didn't want to work. Of course, the lights aren't even hooked up. I mean, just one interesting problem after another last night, but both teams got through it, and welcome you, Coach, here this morning. You know, that's the first time the Gophers got you in 4 years since you guys renewed the rivalry.
Yeah, they and we said going into the week, and I said it last Saturday, this is the best Clinton Prairie team I think we'd seen, and they proved it that last night. And, you know, I think Coach Slicker's done a heck of a job and his staff getting those guys ready to play. They're pretty tough. 34 did a great job running the ball, and we did a really bad job tackling.
Yeah, Jacob Wilson, he led the Gophers last night. He's really touted as their second running back, because Seth Whitlock, who's supposed to be their starter, hurt his right foot week one. So Jacob got the start last night. He went 23 carries, I think, for 231 yards. So that was a heck of a ball game by him.
Yep.
Coach, talk a little bit about your quarterback, Doug Wood, a junior quarterback. I thought he played pretty well last night under the situations of, Prairie defense. But I thought the Dogs handled it pretty well.
Yeah, we looked really good offensively. Doug made some really nice reads, some that I wish he would have got out of his hand a little quicker. Right now he's in the concussion protocol. So
is that right?
Yeah, so he's getting evaluated. We'll see what his status is for week two and week three. But, I mean, our offense looks like it can run with a lot of people. We just got to find some answers on defense. Quincy Perry had a great night again last night. Jacob Burns, both catching the ball and running the ball, looked really solid last night. Our offensive line did a heck of a job giving Doug time to throw. We just got to improve that timing and improve that release time. We tell Doug all the time, like, hey, don't take unnecessary hits. Don't, you know, get out of bounds, get rid of the ball, get out of your hands quick. And so we still got some work to do in that area. But overall, he played really well. And you know, anytime you put up, we were probably close to 300 yards passing again and 30 points and walk away with a loss, and that's tough.
Yeah, Prairie jumped out to a 16-0 lead, but you guys came back and answered him. And really, you guys came out the second half and took the opening play, and you scored.
Yeah.
And I thought, man, the momentum is changing quick. And then... And you, then you gamble on the off.
Then we get the onside kick, and we get it cut down to 10. We get the onside kick back, but then, you know, we got to have that possession offensively, and that's what Coach Shula, our offensive coordinator, was like, man, if we can get something going on that second drive, you know, I think we change the momentum of the game. And I think he's right. But, you know, our kids battled all night. Our kids played hard all night. They ran, they hit, they did the little things. We gotta tackle better. I mean, our big issue week one was the penalties offensively. We got those cleaned up, and we played well offensively. Now we got to get stuff shored up on the defensive side.
Well, there were some big time hits last night on both sides of the ball out there, but even in the third quarter, I think the referees pulled the captains together because it was getting pretty chippy. I mean, it's a county rival,
and expect that.
You got to get your shots in when you can, and both teams can't. You know what I mean? And I'm saying that in a good way.
Yeah, you're right. It was a hard hitting,
and that's just the way
game.
It is. I mean, that was back when I played. You know, in the 80s, it was exact same way. So you come to expect that, and that's kind of fun to watch out there. And really, I mean, you're just a few drop passes away from really, really getting back in that ball game.
Yeah.
And maybe even a different outcome.
Yeah, and it's our guys understand that, and they know that, and you know we got. A big stretch coming up now that we're going into Sagamore Conference play, and I told him last night, I said, you know, it sucks to lose a ball game, but the sun's going to rise on Saturday morning,
right?
And like, we got to let that one go and turn our attention now to that team in Liston.
Hey, before we talk a little bit about the Sagamore Conference, because it's now become a really big football conference.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about Julio Rivero from the linebacker position. Man, he played a yeoman's job last night.
Yeah, he's a tough-nosed kid. He's quick, he's strong, he's physical, and he just does everything that is asked of him. He's a three-year guy. He's a junior. This is his first year as a starter. So we're excited about where he's at and where he's going to get to by the end of the year.
So now let's turn our thoughts now towards the Sagamore Conference. It's almost like an upper division and a lower division, because in your upper division you have four schools that are ranked in the top 3A program, and then Lebanon pulling in the top 20 of 4A, and then you have, you know, North Montgomery, South Montgomery, Frankfort, and
Crawfordsville
kind of still trying to gear up their program to get into the mix of the Sagamore. Why do you think that the Sagamore has become such a really good football program?
Geography. You know, Danville's pulling a lot of kids from Avon. Tri-West is pulling a lot of kids from Brownsburg. Same thing, Lebanon and Western Boone are pulling a lot of kids from the Zionsville area. Like, as Indianapolis grows and expands, those suburb schools are growing and expanding. And I talked to the coach from Danville. He's like, yeah, we got six guys that were at Avon last year. I said, well, we got six guys that didn't play football last year.
So that is a big difference.
We're not dealing with the same clientele. Our kids work their butts off and they try hard and they play hard. There's definitely a difference though when you're stepping down from a 6A program your whole life to go play 3A ball. And that's certainly been Danville's been a beneficiary of that. And, you know, I come from Jimtown. We were the same kind of beneficiary. Like, we bordered Penn and Elkhart Memorial, and we had kids that would transfer from Memorial. We had our starting tailback my junior year, when we won the state title, was a transfer from Penn, and he was a 6'2", 230-pound tailback who was a state qualifier in the 110 hurdles.
And here locally, when that happens, you know, we get kids moving around in the county, and that just hurts the school they left. You know, maybe, you know, I mean, that's the difference. It's, you know, it's not like you're getting, you know, kids coming in from Lafayette or whatever to help us. Like, maybe a kid will go from Frankfort out to Prairie or vice versa, but it just hurts the other program when that happens.
Yeah, and when we did get lucky enough last year to get a kid who moved in from Lafayette, Jeff and Kyle Zickman, and I mean, he was the mentality that he brought was just outstanding, because he'd played that upper tier level football with Lafayette Jeff, and he'd been in those big-time games, and he knew how to respond to those big-time situations.
We talked a little bit about last week. Can you talk a little on your youth program and what you tried to accomplish there? You said you wrapped up a deal last, you know, week with your seniors and juniors, you know, heading up the youth program.
Yeah, our varsity guys coach all of our youth football teams. We had 101 kids signed up for youth football this year that came out and played. We go flag K through 6 for a number of reasons. One, safety and liability, right? Like, little kids don't need to get concussions. Two, pads are really, really expensive.
Right.
And three, like, the flag program gives us the opportunity now to kind of turn it into a little bit of an AAU look. Like, we're going to take some of our 5th and 6th grade guys and some of our 7th and 8th grade guys this winter over to Grand Park and play in their indoor flag league as well. So that way we get kids playing more ball.
You get the repetition of throwing that football, repetition of catching, and all guys working together, so you get those combos.
Now the flip side of that is like, well, hey, coach, you guys were not very good at tackling last night. Maybe you guys need a tackle. And there's something to be said for that, but it's also difficult to find people who want to step up and help at the youth level.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to have our varsity guys go down there. They coach up those young guys. They teach those young guys. They mentor those young kids. And we have boys and girls in our youth program, which is really cool. And our guys enjoy it. And those little kids look up to them. And, you know, they know, you know, number 88 was my coach. My kids are all in the youth league as well. And, like, so they came out after the game. And they talked to Rolando Castillo, number 3, was my son's coach. And Nelson was my daughter's coach, number 1, and they all came and gave him a hug. And, like, to them, in their eyes, like, those guys are, like, you know, playing for Alabama. Like,
right.
You know, Nelson's this big, you know, 190-pound H-back, and, like, my kids think he's a Greek god.
Right. And after the game last night,
it works out.
I'm just going to tell you, I think that's probably one of the most important aspects of high school sports. And that has been lost, is the fact that I don't think the high school athletes realize the younger kids, what they look up to them as, and whether they want to accept it or not, it's an important factor. There's a great poster in the superintendent's office of this high school player in line for his layup drills, and a little bitty guy comes up to shake his hand during That poster says it all right there.
Yeah. And that's why we love running the youth program the way we do, because it lets those guys get involved with the youth of Clinton County, and it lets them have a positive impact and give back to the community and get to know those young kids. And those young kids come to the football games, and they say, hey, that's my coach out there, and that's a pretty good feeling.
And last night, you know, the Hot Dogs brought a pretty good crowd with them, and Prairie had a great crowd. It was a really neat atmosphere, to tell you the truth. I mean, it was a little dark. I'm keeping stats on the Prairie sideline. Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily could see you on the other side, Coach. But they made it happen. You know what I mean? It was just kind of an old school. I kind of joked to somebody. I'm like, this is probably what it was like playing in the 60s because they really didn't have the light technology.
Pulled up some trucks and turned some headlights on.
So, well, Coach, good luck to you.
Oh, thanks.
You know, try West next week, right?
Try West at we've got to travel down to Lisdon.
At Lisdon. So we'll talk to you again next week. You know, keep fighting, hanging in there. It's fun to watch the Hot Dogs play, just watch you swinging around the field.
Thanks.
We'll be right back after this with Coach Betzner on the phone with the Carroll Cougars.